Welcome to this installment of Above the Clouds. Today's session will be very special. This is because on a Sunday I'm already singing for 3 days in New Mayapur during the Kirtan Mela. It's my first big event after the lockdown, and I can't wait to sit together with the devotees in Kirtan. Our verse today is Shukadev Goswami explaining to Parikshit Maharaj what is the first and foremost spiritual practice in Kali Yuga. He says, "My dear King, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there's still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom." This is amazing. Jiva Goswami describes Kirtan in this in these words: "Sankirtan, or chanting with others, is superior even to Kirtan or chanting alone, because it produces such extraordinary feelings." Sankirtan means that many people come together and blissfully sing about Sri Krishna, and do this loudly for the benefit of others. Now, why is this process so delightful? Why do we say it produces something extraordinary, which is not coming up or created by other forms of devotional service? There are three reasons. One is a scientific reason, the second an esoteric, and the third a spiritual reason. Let's start with the scientific reason. When you sing mantras, all four areas of the brain are engaged: the left and the right brain hemisphere, the brain stem, and the frontal cortex. Kirtan, in other words, music and mantras, grip the mind entirely. Other activities only engage either the left or the right brain side, or the frontal cortex or the brain stem. But this is a full engagement. Prabhupada once said, "The hearing tendency is made easy and still more favorable by songs and music of spiritual value." In other words, hearing is made easy through music. Let's go now to the esoteric reason why Kirtan is the supreme practice in Kali Yuga. In his commentary on Krishna's famous midnight dance with the gopis, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur described the number of melodies which the gopis sang. He said they sang one raga for every 16,000 species of life. And in this way he made a connection between the essential nature of each species and a particular melody. Each life form has a particular song, a particular vibration to it, a particular melody. And it is precisely this instinctive connection between melody and being that so powerfully brings together mantra and music. and is in the heart and mind of the chanter, so that his experience of Sankirtan is so absolutely potent. Plato recognized this and described in his work, The Republic, that a child's education should be composed mostly of good music to harmonize or spiritualize the mind. A third reason why Sankirtan is so spiritually potent is a spiritual reason. Krishna responds very enthusiastically and quickly to group petition. Before Krishna invented himself, Mother Earth took on the form of a cow and tearfully approached Brahma to request and beg him for a solution to her terrible plight. She was overrun by an increasing number of fully armed militaristic rulers who were conquering all four directions and plundered her resources. Brahma was really worried. He called upon Shiva and all the demigods and immediately left with Mother Bhumi for the sacred milk ocean. He wanted to petition the Lord, "Please advent yourself." Now there's one commentator who asked the question, why Brahma brought such an entourage of luminaries with him when he was perfectly qualified to gain direct access to the Lord by his prayer, you know, by praying alone. Brahma had done this many times. He had prayed to the Lord and the Lord had come. Why does he now come with so many? And the answer is that Brahma was instructing us by his own example that group petition is much more powerful than individual prayers. When many come together and together call out to the Lord, his heart melts. And bhakti is the path of entreaty, the path of praying. Accordingly, Sankirtan, which means a collective appeal, invokes extraordinary feelings of grace and delight. See, in Sankirtan, ideally, everyone shares in the devotional offering. They come into the same mood, and at such a time, the devotional atmosphere tends to become more intense. Especially when the singers are free from ego. I would like to offer an example how when many people come together and share the same mood, an extraordinary emotional involvement comes there. I looked yesterday into the Wembley Stadium where there are many football games, and I could see the people who had come. There were many people inside, you know, being in absolute agony together. Let us say half of them were in agony when their team was on the losing side. And then, when it looked very good for the team, wow, they became so absolutely enthusiastic. The men were pulling off their shirts and waving them in the air, and women started to cry with deep happiness because they were sharing the same mood. Now, this is happening in events where everyone comes together. There is a catharsis or a release. Something is acted out and something is coming out of the heart, which is very, very delightful. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur offers the example of a recitation of the Ramayana. When the narrator came to the part where Hanuman is getting ready to jump in one huge leap across the ocean in order to come to Lanka, the audience were absolutely stirred up. They identified with the feeling, and one devotee couldn't control himself any longer, and without hesitation and shyness he started to jump up and down. This is called in rasa theology an unification or equalization, where the feelings of an individual are uplifted by the sum total of feelings of everyone in the audience. And this happens in kirtan. I once was very, very fortunate to see such a major event in Moscow. It was after the borders had opened and we had a kirtan program with 30,000 people in attendance. When all these people started to chant, they began to experience this group delight of kirtan and became so fired up that they climbed on top of each other and came like a tsunami wave of ecstatic humanity flushing towards the stage. It was a very electrified joy that went through. Why? Because Krishna is very responsive to group petition. Krishna likes kirtan, and he rewards the audience with his bhakti shakti, which is giving them joy and a very clear insight into their spiritual life and the next steps to take. I request you, as your practical application of this text, to become mindful of your kirtan. Sing in the next week. There are a few qualities that come to mind when we think of kirtan. Depth. Focus. Soulful singing. Be spontaneous in your singing. And be meditative. But perhaps the most powerful of the instructions for doing good kirtan is be connected. Be connected with first the kirtan itself, follow the mood, follow the melody, be 100% there, and then second, be connected with Krishna. Kali Yuga is an ocean of hypocrisy and pollution. In Kali Yuga, all natural elements are polluted. The water is polluted, earth, sky, the mind is polluted, the intelligence and the ego. But there's one auspicious aspect of this fallen age. It is the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord together. Simply by this delightful process of Krishna Kirtan, one is freed from his connection to this fallen age and goes back home, back to Godhead. Please make this week your Kirtan week. I thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to see you all for the next episode of Above the Clouds.